Teaching and learning in a post-COVID world. Critical race theory. Howard Zinn. Truth. Band? Yeah. There's a whole lot of crazy going on in today's classrooms. Where do you go for sanity? Maybe not here, but Busted Pencils Radio is here to soothe your anxiety. Now back to Tim, Johnny, and Busted Pencils Radio.
Oh, we are back. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. And Johnny and I actually are truly the ones on the receiving end of being educated tonight. Gimme One, Dustin Burnett, Midwest Indigenous Immersion Network, our guest, talking about language immersion, particularly specifically Ojibwe language immersion schools. And Gimme, we left off about this. You were talking about immersion, how we teach immersion, if we're doing it well, if we're not doing it well, and using the analogy of either feeding, starving, going hungry, getting well nourished. If an immersion program is providing really good nourishment, what's happening?
That's a fantastic question. I suppose the students are learning.
Well, I mean, so the other example, so if I'm only feeding you a piece of rice, that's not immersion.
Yeah, so and that's where I was going before the break is, you know, in public education, our concept of Indigenous culture and language instruction has been so minimalized over the decades. And there are a lot of, you know, different layers as to why those things happen. Primarily, you know, our individuals who are overseeing the classrooms, our administrators are more commonly non-native, unless we're in a native school, which in some cases we still have non-native oversight, who just don't feel comfortable addressing the issue of curriculum development, standard development, or holding native teachers to expectations, which they cannot measure as non-native staff members, you know? But anyway, so what we've had for decades is this concept of language instruction where we just focus on the same 30 to 40 words every year, kindergarten through 12th grade. And we think it's instruction when really it's just a placeholder to try to appease, right? There's no real concerted effort in the States right now, at least up here in the Midwest, to really focus on the development of linguistic instruction of native languages for native students. So that's the analogy with we're feeding the kids, but we're only giving them a spoonful of rice a day. They're going to go hungry. They're going to starve, right? What a good program looks like is full nourishment, you know, and a well-balanced meal. So like we were talking about earlier, not just the language, but also the culture and the understandings of how to be a learner of language and culture aside from receiving the instruction. So to me, that's what a good immersion program looks like.
So that's the part then too, to understand this about immersion and the part. I mean, I think for a listener out there who just heard you say, you know, look, from K to 12, 20 to 40 words, look, I wouldn't even count that as language instruction. That's kind of like trivializing a couple words that probably would lead to cultural misappropriation, right? And as you said, and if we're looking for some form of cultural depth of knowledge, you've got to go deep into the language because the language and the culture, particularly in this sense for Ojibwe and Indigenous. And almost, I think when you really get down into language and culture at any level, people will say you can't really separate the two, but it's really important when we talk about Indigenous language restoration and immersion networks.
Absolutely.
Okay, so I correct me and tell me I'm absolutely incredibly wrong. But now Johnny asked this question. John, you were thinking a little bit about like your role as a teacher educator.
Mm-hmm.
You know, future teachers. I'm gonna get back. You know, how what Gimme just talked about. In fact, you know, we're overseen by standards and things like that that make us. I'm wondering about this, and maybe I'll throw the question to if you're asking this, but what about future teachers? Gimme, where are your teachers coming from? Let me put it to you that way.
That's actually one of the biggest holes we have in our programming, is our teachers are currently coming from anywhere and everywhere. And this is really difficult, especially in an immersion setting, because not only are we looking for individuals who can speak Ojibwe very well, we also need them to be good with kids, a licensed educator, and culturally competent. And finding all those aspects in one individual is so rare. So we're constantly building up staff who have any one of those four pre-existing attributes and trying to build them over several years into being a well-rounded immersion instructor.
John, so think about, right, teacher education, that whole idea there, well-rounded.
Yeah.
How do we do this, man?
Yeah, well, and I feel honored and really lucky to be in a state like Washington, where we have since time immemorial mandate from our state government to begin in our public schools really working through social studies standards to include, not appropriate, but to include Indigenous histories and perspectives and language pieces, and to work together with local leaders to do that kind of work. And so we're figuring it out a little bit at a time in these states. And so there's an opening for these kinds of programs to really begin to acknowledge the importance of, you know, of what to the north of us in Canada they're calling truth and reconciliation, and really thinking about what are Indigenous perspectives to our local forms of public education. And there's a mess with that, right? Because there's a lot of not like a real new entry point where it becomes appropriation or a unit in a classroom. And so we're really trying to work past that and say, what are ways that we can begin to support full immersion programs, but also begin to recognize that all of our public school systems need to do a lot of work around, you know, around recognizing the importance of Indigenous presence today in our communities, and also the genocide endured, right, by our community members or who might not be part of a community because of forced removal from land and place. And so thinking through this, I love learning, but also hearing what maybe Inuwe can offer in terms of, so what might we do to support this work in our public school systems and at the state level? Like, it's really important. I think we all agree.
Yeah, give me one. And we're going to come up on our hard commercial break here. And I was hoping that this is where we ask the guests, can we get 15 more minutes out of you for our next segment so we can have you answer that question?
Absolutely.
Okay. Because I think, I mean, putting that there, and for me too, it's just this idea, how do we help? Because that's in Johnny, we're sitting there thinking about that. And that's kind of where I left when I left Wisconsin, was trying to help. And particularly this idea of saying, how could a teacher education licensing institution be in a place to support the work you're doing? And how do we help, particularly this idea of teachers? And man, it's just, it's so important. And so when we get back, more with Gimme One, the Midwest Indigenous Immersion Network, Busted Pencils, fully lighted, two educators who are truly being educated by an incredible educator, Gimme One, Busted Pencils, fully lighted, back at the break.
Anymore. This is the end for you, my friend.